Monster Man, Episode 87, Dakin to Darkstalker. Stop missing with the Monster Man, it was a bad plan, but I had to get the town on it. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway and I'm reading my way through the Fiend Folio supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in it, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're beginning our exploration of the D section of the Fiend Folio, and we're gonna be here a while. So let's get started. The first monster in today's list is the Dakin. Now, the Dakin is a Fiend Factory monster, and the entry for the Dakin in the Fiend Folio is very similar to its Fiend Factory column entry, right down to some kind of unusual word choice, which I'm going to talk about in a second. The Dakin is basically a big ape, just a regular-sized ape, and it is depicted carrying luggage. Is this a joke on... There was a suitcase commercial, right? Yeah, there was this ad in the early 1970s for the Samsonite American Tourister luggage in which they put this, like, suitcase into an ape's cage, or was a guy in an ape suit, and he just ran around chucking it at things and jumping on it and so on. I wonder if that's where the association comes from, but because, of course, this is British, I imagine probably not. In fact, there's no mention in either of the entries of the role of the Dakin as a baggage handler. It does say that they don't like it when people touch their treasure. But so one of the things that you got in the Fiend Factory column was that they would print the submission, and then at the end, this may only have been the earlier ones, at the end you'd get Don Turnbull's notes on the creature. And here he says, yeah, there's really nothing to add. It could make a useful non-player character addition to a party because they're lawful, they can talk, right? Like, if you meet these creatures, you kind of would think, oh no, carnivorous apes, but actually, they're just nice civilized ape people, and you can invite them into your group, I suppose. I mean, if we're going to have a bunch of NPCs traipsing around after the party, leading mules and carrying packs and setting up camp and whatever, it is much more charming if they are all apes. I'm 100% on board with that. Other than that, there isn't really a whole lot to say about the Dakin. It's an ape, and it's intelligent, and it's lawful. The thing that strikes me as the weirdest about the Dakin is that it's described as shabby. And that's in the Fiend Factory column entry as well. It's called shabby. Now, the illustration of it in the Fiend Factory column makes it look like, you know, it's been dragged through a hedge backwards. Like, it's completely, you know, its hair is all wild and matted, and it's sort of dirty looking. But here we get just, you know, a regular ape. So why is it shabby? Is it meant to be shaggy? Is it a shaggy ape? Like, what would an ape even do to be considered shabby? You know? Is it it's lawful, but, like, it's not very nice, it's not very considerate, its treatment of others is shabby? Or does it just, like, wear its clothes until they wear out because it doesn't really care all that much about its appearance? I've got no inkling of why this ape is shabby. But it's pretty cool. I mean, it's an ape, and you know I love apes. So I'm inclined to like it just from the get-go. And the idea of, like, a merchant, you know, making his way through the jungle or over a high mountain pass, and instead of trying to drag, like, carts, he has all these apes carrying his luggage is sort of a charming one, right? Like, it's like a caravan, and they're super lawful. They'll never attack anybody, and he knows, they won't steal from him, right? Because they're so law-abiding. Next, we have two linked monsters. Or are they? Now, this is not an insider original to me. Listener Goblin's Henchman wrote in and pointed out that the Dark Creeper and the Dark Stalker, although they are presented as a pair, are in fact by two different people. The Dark Creeper was created by Rick Shepard, whereas the Dark Stalker was created by Simon Muth, or maybe Muth. So what does this mean? The Dark Stalker's entry refers to the Dark Creeper, and not really vice versa? So it's possible that somebody looked at the Dark Creeper entry and thought, what we need to do is add some leaders for these guys, and thus the Darkstalkers were born. Or it's possible that Turnbull saw two monster entries that were similar enough that he thought they might be connected, and he wrote the part of it that joined the two of them into one underground society.
Anyway, enough speculation, let's talk about the Dark Creeper. The Dark Creeper is a really fun monster and is basically the, like, mechanization of everything, every piece of advice that you've ever received about how goblins and kobolds ought to act. Dark Creepers are typical little one-hit die guys who aren't really all that tough, they have daggers, and they live deep underground in the darkness. They're totally accustomed to the darkness and they hate the light. They're basically little sneaky thieves. They love to carry magical items. The Dark Creepers strike me at an individual level a little bit as the answer to the question, if you had to have D&D stats for Gollum, what would he be? Right? They're little sort of cave-dwelling guys who hate the light and like to collect small magical objects which they keep in their pockets, except there's a whole society of them. And they have a bunch of darkness-related abilities, which basically feature into sneaky guerrilla tactics, right? Like, they drop this magical darkness on you, and then while they do that, they, you know, while you're blind or whatever, they run around among the party, like, poking holes in your oil flasks, and, like, stealing your lanterns, and, you know, hiding your torches, and so on and so forth, so that when the magical darkness ends, you're just stuck in the regular old darkness. And then they have this big advantage over you, and so even little dudes who only have one HD and daggers can be a real menace when you can't see them. And in many ways, the Dark Creeper should be inspirational to other monsters, right? Because, okay, goblins don't have the fancy magical darkness that these guys do, but they should definitely swarm on you and smash your oil flasks and put out your candles. You know, wave one of goblins should definitely be trying to kill your light sources. The only problem with this is that it continues to encourage the human fighter is the most worthless thing in the world because he's got his hands full with shields and weapons, but he's also the only poor stooge in the party who needs a light source. You got a tough row to hoe, human fighter, but that's just how it goes sometimes. Anyway, the Dark Creepers are a lot of fun, and the idea that... and they're a little too sort of optimized. Like, they're sort of built to be in Dungeons & Dragons combats, right? Like, every member of this species can drop magical darkness. That really makes sense. They live in the cave underground. Like, do they frequently find themselves with occasions where they need to blanket the already pitch dark environment in more pitch darkness, like even pitcher darkness? Doesn't necessarily make a whole lot of sense, but if we assume that these are the elite Dark Creeper commandos, you know, that the regular Dark Creepers are even bigger scrubs, and they know that the surface dwellers fear the dark, and so these are the guys who go out equipped with whatever it is that allows them to do this, then I think that makes sense. Their leaders are the Dark Stalkers. No connection to the video game of the same name. They don't particularly stalk people, but they're basically just taller, more human-like Dark Creepers with a few extra abilities. And like the Dark Creepers, when they die, they go off in a blinding flare of fire. No, fair enough. Actually, looking at the Dark Creeper entry, it does say that they sometimes lead a solitary existence, so actually, that's much more Gollum-like. There are Dark Creeper villages, but for the most part, they go about by themselves. So, in some ways, they kind of remind me of the leave you for the other dungeon monsters that we've encountered in the past, right? So, things that paralyze you but don't otherwise hurt you. So, same thing here. The Dark Creeper knows you're in a dangerous underground environment, and so it just runs in, busts up your light sources, and then leaves you for all the other things that live down here that can see in the dark. So yeah, the Dark Stalker is pretty much the same deal as the Dark Creeper, but is just kind of taller and cooler, and seems to be sort of like an Eloy Morlocks kind of relationship, where Dark Stalkers only breed with other Dark Stalkers, and so therefore they are more human-like, and they're kind of accentuating the traits that exist within this sort of Dark Stalker nobility. And indeed, in later editions of Dungeons & Dragons, they were combined into a single species, the Dark Ones, which makes them sound a little tougher than they really are. Honestly, so does Dark Stalkers. Even the Dark Stalkers aren't really terrifying fighters, as it says they fight with their short swords if they must. But for the most part, these guys are sneaky guerrilla thief types. Although, even then, the Dark Stalker probably not going to come up unless you have already found your way to the kind of bandit camp of the Dark Creepers and are ready to go in and lay down some indiscriminate justice. So Dark Creepers and Dark Stalkers are really good, although, to me, they almost feel more interesting as something that you might find among goblins or among kobolds, right? They might say that this is just sort of like a secret society of thieves, right? This is what the Goblin Thieves Guild looks like. that they are, in fact, yeah, you could say, okay, this is the Goblin Thieves Guild. And yeah, you know, once you get enough degrees initiated into the Goblin Thieves Guild, you discover that there are these, like, separate encampments of these people who are ruled over by these mysterious masters. You know, they're the ones who gave them these darkness powers. And where do they come from? I don't know. Because one of the problems with the format of a monster book is the temptation to take functions and proliferate them as individual creatures, right? As if to say, like, well, only a garbage man can collect garbage. You know, if you want to deliver mail, you'll need a completely different species. That's a letter carrier. And I think reintegrating some of them does kind of make fitting them into a setting a little bit easier. So my temptation would be to take the Dark Creeper and make it a subset or specialist group within one of my other and frankly numerous societies of cave-dwelling one-hit-die scrubs. Needless to say, it's got some really cool art by Russ Nicholson. I'm particularly fond of the, like, action shots that Russ Nicholson does, and here we see an adventurer who is apparently unaware that there are a load of Dark Creepers lurking behind him, apparently, you know, just getting ready to snuff out his light sources and then jump in there and plunge their daggers into his neck. Little sadists. So yeah, those are the Dakin, the Dark Creeper, and the Dark Stalker. I like the Dark Creeper and the Dark Stalker, and I love the Dakin to some extent just because I really like apes. And the idea of having an ape, that like a goody two-shoes lawful ape, hanging out, following a party around. It's fantastic. Fantastic verging on silly, and there are people who would think that the Dakin would be too silly for the tone of their campaign, and, you know, that's their call, and I think they might have a point. But it's not too silly for the tone of my campaign, because I make special exceptions for apes in all cases. Anyway, that's it for this episode of Monster Man. Please join me next time as we get into two very different expressions of death. The Death Dog, and The Death Knight, on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. Do you have a favorite monster? Do you have something you'd like me to talk about? Find me on Twitter at GonzoHistory, or send me an email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. If you want to support the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/monsterman, where you'll find lots of extra bonus content and my brand new show, Patron Deities, in which I explore the deities and demigods advanced Dungeons & Dragons book. Check it out. Thanks for listening.